Chapter 26. The present generation has probably but a very dim notion of the celebrated York Hussars of 90 years ago. They were one of the regiments of the King's German Legion, and though they somewhat degenerated later on, their brilliant uniform, their splendid horses, and above all, their foreign air and mustachios, rare appendages then, drew crowds of admirers of both sexes wherever they went. These with other regiments had come to encamp on the downs and pastures, because of the presence of the king in the neighboring town. The spot was high and airy, and the view extensive, commanding the Isle of Portland in front, and reaching to St. Aldhelm's Head eastward, and almost to the Start on the west. Phyllis, though not precisely a girl of the village, was as interested as any of them in this military investment. Her father's home stood somewhat apart, and on the highest point of ground to which the lane ascended, so that it was almost level with the top of the church tower in the lower part of the parish. Immediately from the outside of the garden wall the grass spread away to a great distance, and it was crossed by a path which came close to the wall. Ever since her childhood it had been Phyllis's pleasure to clamber up this fence, and sit on the top a feat, not so difficult as it may seem, the walls in this district being built of rubble, without mortar, so that there were plenty of crevices for small toes. She was sitting up here one day, listlessly surveying the pasture without, when her attention was arrested by a solitary figure walking along the path. It was one of the renowned German hussars, and he moved onward with his eyes on the ground, and with the manner of one who wished to escape company. His head would probably have been bent like his eyes, but for his stiff neck gear. On nearer view she perceived that his face was marked with deep sadness. Without observing her, he advanced by the footpath till it brought him almost immediately under the wall. Phyllis was much surprised to see a fine, tall soldier in such a mood as this. Her theory of the military, and of the York Hussars in particular, derived entirely from hearsay, for as he had never talked to a soldier in her life, was that their hearts were as gay as their accoutrements. At this moment the hussar lifted his eyes, and noticed her on her perch, the white muslin neckerchief which covered her shoulders and neck, were left bare by her low gown, and her white raiment in general, showing conspicuously in the bright sunlight of this summer day. He blushed a little at the suddenness of the encounter, and without halting a moment from his pace passed on. All that day the foreigner's face haunted Phyllis. Its aspect was so striking, so handsome, and his eyes were so blue, and sad, and abstracted. It was perhaps only natural that on some following day at the same hour she should look over that wall again, and wait till he had passed a second time. On this occasion he was reading a letter, and at the sight of her his manner was that of one who had half expected or hoped to discover her. He almost stopped, smiled, and made a courteous salute. The end of the meeting was that they exchanged a few words. She asked him what he was reading, and he readily informed her that he was reperusing letters from his mother in Germany. He did not get them often, he said, and was forced to read the old ones a great many times. This was all that passed at the present interview, but others of the same kind followed. Phyllis used to say that his English, though not good, was quite intelligible to her, so that their acquaintance was never hindered by difficulties of speech. Whenever the subject became too delicate, subtle, or tender, for such words of English as were at his command, the eyes no doubt helped out the tongue, and though this was later on the lips helped out the eyes. In short, this acquaintance, unguardedly made, and rash enough on her part, developed and ripened. Like Desdemona, she pitied him, and learned his history. His name was Matt Faustina, and Sarbrick his native town, where his mother was still living. His age was 22, and he had already risen to the grade of corporal, though he had not long been in the army. Phyllis used to assert that no such refined, or well-educated young man could have been found in the ranks of the purely English regiments, some of these foreign soldiers having rather the graceful manner and presence of our native officers than of our rank and file. She by degrees learned from her foreign friend a circumstance about himself and his comrades which Phyllis would least have expected of the York Hussars. So far from being as gay as its uniform, the regiment was pervaded by a dreadful melancholy, a chronic homesickness, which depressed many of the men to such an extent that they could hardly attend to their drill. The worst sufferers were the younger soldiers who had not been over here long. They hated England and English life. They took no interest whatever in King George and his island kingdom, and they only wished to be out of it and never to see it any more. Their bodies were here, but their hearts and minds were always far away in their dear fatherland, of which brave men and stoical as they were in many ways they would speak with tears in their eyes. One of the worst of the sufferers from this home woe, as he called it in his own tongue, was Matt Faustina, whose dreamy musing nature felt the gloom of exile still more intensely from the fact that he had left a lonely mother at home with nobody to cheer her. Though Phyllis, touched by all this, and interested in his history, did not disdain her soldier's acquaintance, she declined, according to her own account, at least, to permit the young man to overstep the line of mere friendship for a long while, as long, indeed, as she considered herself likely to become the possession of another, though it is probable that as he had lost her heart to Matthos before she was herself aware. The stone wall of necessity made anything like intimacy difficult, and he had never ventured to come, or to ask to come, inside the garden, so that all their conversation had been overtly conducted across this boundary. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.